Well, my normal Sunday morning routine, to give you a little peek behind the Andy Rainey curtain, after I get ready at the house, I leave, I grab my work bag, I typically head to get the car washed, I grab a Starbucks coffee, and then I head to Summit Park. And on my way, I listen to one of two apps. It's either Pray As You Go or Lectio 365. I've recommended both of those apps in the past, and you're like, what did he just say? Write apps on your Connect card, drop it in there, I'll follow up with all that information. But if you haven't downloaded that, just encourage you to do it. I think it'll just add to your quiet time. So I'll listen to that on my way to Summit to kind of center me, to get me ready. I'll pull in. I'll get into my normal parking spot. Nobody's typically there. There I'm praying. I'm sipping my coffee, and I verbally give the message out loud to make any last-minute tweaks. Once I'm done, I make the short little jaunt across the street to the church, and while I'm on my way, I start praying for God to move, for God to meet anybody that's going to be here, for first-time guests that come, for people that are waking up or they get up late and considering, do I really want to go? Like praying for God just to nudge them just a little bit. Before you arrive here on Sunday, our prayer teams have already interceded on your behalf. They've prayed for you that you'd have a deeper connection and relationship with Jesus with your time here. Before I took the stage this morning, we prayed for our service. Then in the morning during worship, I typically stand up here in the front row and spend a few minutes just praying to recenter myself for today's message. It's a rhythm that I have. It's a rhythm that we have as a church. And in a more practical sense, when you really think about it, if we really believe God is with us all the time and part of our daily lives, wouldn't it be weird not to talk to him? Right? Like, imagine if I was hanging out with my wife, or there was, you know, hanging out with friends, or my coworkers were here, and like we spent the day or the morning and we didn't say a single word to each other. It'd be a little weird, right? For people that have relationship, conversations happen naturally. And that's what we do. We spend time doing that. This is what relationships is all about. And if you're like, that's not really something that comes naturally to me, Andy, I don't really talk to God that way, I don't really pray a lot. I heard somebody once say this: if it doesn't come naturally, it must be done intentionally. If it doesn't come naturally, it must be done intentionally. And that's so true. And for me, prayer is something I've had to do intentionally. It's something I've had to grow in. But the more I've practiced it, the more natural and default it's become. And honestly, it's something I find myself enjoying more and more. And we're encouraged throughout Scripture to pray. In his book, Pray First, author and pastor Chris Hodges says, prayer is the lifeblood of the Christian faith. Prayer is something we can do every day at all times, but it takes practice and intentionality. He later says in the book, pray as much as you can while you're doing everything else. I like that. As a matter of fact, Jesus says as much in our memory verse. If you don't have that card, you can grab one as you walked in. There's memory verse cards for the first quarter, but this is what it says on the screen, our memory verse, and Jesus says, hey, pray all the time. He says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Did you catch it? Verse 11, it says, give us today our daily bread. Give us today. Now, there's no way to know everything we're going to need at the beginning of every single day. So when we're praying, give us today our daily bread, it's an invitation for us to pray throughout our day. This is where we're going to spend our time this morning. But before we do, let's practice a little bit what I'm preaching. Let's pray. God, just come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you just meet us right where we are and give us what we need in these moments, over the remaining minutes, reveal to us your love for us, how you see us, and how you're for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if I haven't introduced myself to you, my name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. If this is your first time joining us, I'd love to meet you afterwards. If you're joining us online, thanks so much. We are in our series, just two more weeks, this week and next week, of our series, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, where we've been using the book by Tyler Statton. And if you don't have the book, I really encourage you to go get it. Go to your local library, get an Audible, listen to it. It's really a great book. This is my third time through it. We're not going to get through the entire book in this series. We do have a small group that meets and starts this Wednesday. So if you're interested and you're curious now, write that small group on your Connect card. I'll follow up with you. That's one I'm going to be in. Encourage you to do that. I'm really excited about the weeks we've covered. We've had four great weeks. We've covered some tremendous ground. To give you a recap, if you remember the very first week, we talked about 2 minutes of silence. We challenged you then and every day since to spend 2 minutes in silence. Not so much like complete quiet. That's hard to find, but if you can, that's great. It's really about quieting our minds and our posture to recenter us on Jesus and his love for us. The second week, we talked about adoration and how we can adore God for his greatness. And we gave you three different ways you could do that. You could do that through praying through the Psalms or scriptures that talk about God's greatness. You can do that through worship, which we've already done this morning. Or the practice I've really tried to instill this year is through gratitude, being grateful for the little things. And every day for me, I'm finding something else I'm grateful for, to have 366 different things I'm grateful for this year. It's a practice you can do. Then we define what true confession is, biblical confession, and how freeing that really is when we come before God, confessing to him and asking him to search us, to seek us, to find those things that maybe we can't see in ourselves, allowing him to do his best work in cleansing us, restoring us, and loving us well. Last week, we explored what it means to walk in the authority in which we've been created. He's given us created. He's created us to be authoritative in his responsibility and our responsibility to manage the world with Jesus, to intercede with others, for others through prayer. And we use this wall. If you were here last week, we encourage you to come up and write prayers of intercession. And you'll have an opportunity to do that later this morning, to do all of that. And then I just love that progression when you think about it. It's like centering, remembering who Jesus is, remembering who we're praying for and who we are. We're not God, he is. He's the all-powerful, mighty God of creation. And then before the hallowing part, remember we talked about praying to our Father in heaven, this intimate relationship that we have with the Father in heaven. Then we move to this idea of adoring who God is, and then confession, and then walking in the truth of who we are, praying on the behalf of those that we know and those that we love, that God would intersect with their own lives. And then today, this morning, we have this idea of the unavoidable, practical, circumstantial, and immediate prayers of here and now when we pray, God, give us today our daily bread. Daily bread prayer in its simplest form is simply this: asking God for help. That's the simplest definition. See, prayer isn't this ascent of the soul to some other place, right? Prayer is a conversation with God. It's a request from our Heavenly Father, who is close at hand with each and every one of us. Prayer deals directly with our basic day-to-day needs and wants. Prayer is about the demands, the obligations, and the privileges of this very day, this very moment, the big things and the small things. If we only prayed for the big things, it really limits our conversation with God to these objectively noble requests, these big things. This really leads to a cramped spiritual life with little room to meet the actual God we see in Jesus. And when we don't pray for the small things, then we fail to realize God in all of them. This is where gratitude grows. Gratitude is the God-given reward for the small prayers we offer. As one theologian put it, he says, "The basic diet of a healthy soul consists of prayer, justice, and gratitude." Ronald Rollhauer, of Professor Oblate School of Theology, states this. He says, to be a saint, which all of us are, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, is to be fueled by gratitude. Nothing more, nothing less. He goes on to say, only one kind of person transforms the world spiritually, someone with a grateful heart. So how we view God can dictate our approach to God. I mean, think about this. This is true in life, right? If you have a boss that you view as kind of stern, maybe they're always angry, they're in a bad mood, you don't come with them with all the requests, do you? You exhaust every possible opportunity to find the solution to the problem, and only then, when you can't find the solution to the problem, then you come to the boss, right? Because you're afraid of how they might react. This is true with your parents. I mean, if you're a child and your parent you view is always in a hurry, they're always rushed, they don't have time to focus on who you are, what you need, if they're always saying no, if they're always grumpy, it impacts how you communicate with your parent. It impacts what you even ask of your parent. This is true of spouses. If you view your spouse as grumpy, right, they're always in a bad mood, they're never really fully present, it impacts how you talk to your spouse, what you ask your spouse, and even to the point you may not even share everything with your spouse because you're afraid of how they might react. And this is true with your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. How we view that person impacts what we say to that person. So if we view God as this angry person, it's going to impact what we actually say and the conversations we have. So think about this. When you pray to God, maybe you've never thought about this, but you have this view of God you don't realize, so this would be a good question. When you're praying to God, when you're talking, you're having this conversation, what's God's face like? Right? What's his expression like? How's he viewing you? If you were sitting across the table having a cup of coffee with Jesus, what's it like? Is it stern? Is it serious? Is he determined or angry? You think God's expression, when you approach him, when you're talking to him, is aloof? Is he uninterested? Is he looking at his own phone? Is he checking his Apple Watch, right? Like, is he apathetic? Is he just too busy? Is too preoccupied to be fully present with you? Because the manner in which we view God tells a lot about our own relationship with him. I love how Julian of Norwich, the 13th century English anchoress, describes God. She said, "I see God as completely relaxed and courteous. He was always himself, the happiest and at peace with his dear friends." She says, "His beautiful face radiating measureless love like a marvelous symphony." Wow. I mean, if we really viewed God in that light, every time we approached him, every time we talked to him, I think that would impact how often and what we actually say to Jesus. If we were like, he is waiting for us. And all of that, all of our conversations, all of our little prayers, this leads to gratitude in our daily bread prayers. The heart of Jesus truly is for us to ask and keep asking. Asking for the big things in life and the small things along the way. God's kingdom come, his will be done kind of prayers. And give us today our daily bread prayers. Which then brings up the question, what is a daily bread prayer, right? I love how Greg Hodges puts it in his book, Pray First. He says, pray regardless of your needs. Pray whether great or small. Pray as if you have nothing except what God gives you for today. He says, pray and depend on God for everything, all the time. Praise him as your source. Everything you have and everything you need comes from him. As one of God's kids, as we'd say it around here, we can ask God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, for what we need and what we want for today. Because God is a giver with unlimited supply and unlimited generosity towards his children. Just as we would never fail to give our children what they need, God never withholds his own resources from us. Jesus, of course, reinforces this point in the book of Matthew in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four books in the New Testament that simply tell the life of Jesus. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Which of you, Jesus says, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God wants to give his children good gifts. We just simply need to acknowledge that fact and depend on God and make our requests known to him. Now, he already knows what we need. He already knows what we want. But relying on him for our daily bread keeps us humble. It keeps us centered. It helps us be more grateful. And we have this gratitude in our life. It helps us build our faith so we're more secure in our faith. Remember last week how Andrew Murray, we talked about, described humble. He defined it as placing our entire dependence on God. That means we have to give up control. We can't depend on us. We have to depend on God. This is the battle cry for daily bread prayers. It's a declaration of war against one of the soul's fiercest enemies, which is control. Because regardless of our personality, regardless of our upbringing, how great our house was or wasn't, we all want to control our lives. We have this inescapable attraction, as Tyler Statton puts it in the book, of that original lie that we can be our own God, right? And like every variety of falseness, control is just a good desire out of order. Control is a surface-level symptom of a soul-level desire for fruitfulness. We know when a good desire is out of control, when we find ourselves, we're exhausted, we're overwhelmed, we're stressed out, maybe we're anxiety-ridden, we're always angry or frustrated, we're chronically unhappy. These are just a few of the symptoms of a good desire out of order. These are symptoms of our life when we don't trust God with the day-to-day. Tyler points out, the author points out in his book, he says, many of us have a subconscious internal monologue that goes something like this. We want to live a fruitful life. I think we'd all say yes. We want to live a fruitful, meaningful life, but we're just not sure we can trust God. We can trust him to answer the big theological questions, but we aren't sure we can trust him with our dreams, with our hopes, with our plans. We can trust him ultimately, he says, but we doubt we can trust him immediately. And so we white-knuckle our lives with everything we've got, micromanaging our surroundings, our perception, and our next step. When we trust God with our worldview, but not our current experience in the world, our daily lives, then we fall victim to the lure of control. Daily bread prayers are daily reminders that we're not in charge. We are not in control. Prayer replaces control with trust. A God-given desire is only fulfilled by God-given means. So when we pray, give us today our daily bread, and we slow down our life just enough to name those things, what those daily requests are, moment by moment or day by day, then we begin to build trust with our Heavenly Father. We begin to build a relationship with Jesus. When we remain vague in our requests, we don't give God an opportunity to even answer our prayer. We don't give him an opportunity to build trust or disappoint us. And from cover to cover, the Bible makes it clear. When it comes to prayer, God wants us to ask. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to talk. He wants to hear you and me say, as Charles Spurgeon, the great theologian and pastor, points out, asking is the rule of the kingdom. It's the rule of the kingdom. He later says, if you may have everything by asking and nothing without asking, he says, I beg you to see how absolutely vital prayer is. And then he says, I beseech you, like I beg you, to abound in it. So God, even though he knows our needs, even though he knows our wants, is still waiting for us to say it. He's still waiting to hear it from us so that he can build relationship with us. And we know this, communication is a key to any relationship. Communication is essential, particularly because asking anybody for anything makes you vulnerable. Anytime we ask anyone for something, we risk being disappointed and even rejected. Until we ask God for something, he can't disappoint us and he can't surprise us. And sometimes, as we heard last week when Diane was sharing her own story, more than just asking for a certain thing, sometimes we just need to hear his voice. We need to be reminded that he sees us, that he hears us. And then sometimes our particular need, it might shift, it might change altogether when we hear from our Heavenly Father. This is what daily bread prayers are all about. And prayer is as casual as small talk. Asking is the experience of prayer at its most relational point. And Jesus invites us into that. He invites us into a relationship with him so that we can be a part of the redemption of the world. Richard Foster writes, he says, "We are not locked into a present determinist future." Meaning, no matter what we do, it's all going to turn out the certain way. We're not locked into a present determinist future. Ours, he says, is an open, not a closed universe. He says, we are co-laborers, co-heirs, as we talked about last week, with God, working with God to determine the outcome of events. That's a powerful thought. This is what a relational God looks like. The more we know Jesus, the more we know his word, the more we're in tune with his spirit, the more our wants and our needs and our desires line up with his. John Mark Comer concludes, God is more of a friend than a formula. See, God doesn't respond to our prayers in some trivial manner, right? He doesn't pretend to answer prayers. Our prayers actually make an impact. And this is the great mystery of prayer. Heaven is the engine room where the prayers happen. When we're praying, it's the engine room of heaven. Everything we ask for finds its source in heaven. The earth, the very ground we walk on, everything we see, when we utter our prayers, the prayer room, the engine room of heaven, the daily bread prayers, the action all happens here. Heaven comes here. Heaven is the engine room, but earth is where our prayers are answered and made visible. And Jesus taught his disciples, and he teaches us, a way of prayer that invites us to see him as our provider for all things, big and small, daily and future. Jesus wants us to see him as a God who wants to be involved in every detail of our lives. Jesus wants us to know that he's concerned with our day-to-day, our moment-to-moment. What we eat, who we'll meet, how we're going to feel along the way, right? On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread. And once we understand that, once we start to live in that, once we see Jesus for who he truly is, then humility, depending on God for everything, our daily needs, is easier. Because Jesus isn't a God who's too busy trying to maintain his created, right? He's not surprised by anything. He isn't so distracted with all the wrong in the world. He isn't worn out. God isn't exhausted. He isn't anxiety-ridden. He isn't tired of hearing from us. He's waiting. He's waiting in anticipation of what we're going to ask, even though he knows. And he's just as excited to answer that request. He loves us, and he wants to give us good things. We're one of his kids. He wants to give us the big things and the small things. The parking spot. He wants to give us good rest. He wants to give us a productive meeting, a safe drive home. He wants to give us healing. He wants to change our outlook, our perspective about whatever it is we're facing. He just wants us to ask daily, throughout the day, every moment. Because often the conversation is more important than anything else. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give us an opportunity to do just that. And I'll tell you, I said if it's not done naturally, it must be done intentionally. This is something, again, I've had to practice and make it intentionally, and then it becomes natural. It becomes a default. Here's a real silly story that happened about a week or so ago. Craig and I, worship leader, were at Qdoba. It was nice out, so we decided we were going to sit outside. So I was like, hey, I'll get the chips and queso. We'll just share them. How generous am I, right? So they put the chips in the bag, of course, and they put the queso in the bag, and we get outside, and I open up the bag, and, well, the lid wasn't on all the way. So the queso, half the queso is gone. If you've ever been to Qdoba, that's the only reason you really go there. The queso is so good. So I'm frustrated. I'm like, why would they do that? So mentally, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back in there and half these chips are got off. And it was as if the Holy Spirit in the moment was like, aren't you lucky that you could choose anywhere you could eat today? Right? Like, and you can sit outside because the weather's nice in February. And so I prayed. Right then and there, God, thank you so much that this is such a first world problem right? Like, I'm annoyed by chips and queso, right? But that would not have been my default a year ago. I'd have gone in there and been a little frustrated. I'd have been certainly nice about it, but like, hey, here's what happened. And I'm sure they'd have been happy to fix the problem. They didn't need to. I needed to be fixed. But these are just little moments that happen. Somebody shared something in a text yesterday about they lost something. My default was, I'm praying right now that you find it. Right? This is the stuff that happens. When it doesn't come naturally, it must be done intentionally. And the more intentional you are, the more natural it becomes. So I mean, I implore you. I beseech you. As we, like, what does that word mean? I beg you, make this a practice. Grab your Connect cards that Janice has mentioned and I've mentioned several times. If you haven't filled out anything, I just encourage you to write your name. I'm going to offer you a few next steps that you can write on your Connect card and drop it in the offering buckets when they go by. I read these. I pray over them. If there's something we need to follow up on, we certainly will. You may have a step that we don't offer. That's fine. That's great. Just I'd encourage you to write that down as well. Here's the first next step. Maybe today is the day you recenter your life on Jesus or you accept Jesus for the first time. You've tried to live life your own way. You've tried to do everything. You've tried to have all the control. You're just tired of doing it because it's not working out right. Here's what the world will always give you one word when you search for it for meaning. More. Oh, when I get that thing, when I go to those places, when I have these people, the world says, just a little more. Never find contentment. That's only found in Christ. Christ is where that shifts. And you begin to look around, regardless of what other people have and do, and you find contentment. Not only that, you find joy with all the other people's success. And you begin to say, God, I am so happy that you're moving in their lives and blessing them. Nothing wrong with continuing to ask for that for yourself, but that's the shift that happens. And that only happens when we repent, as the Bible says, and you turn from your own ways of trying to figure out life, and you turn to the ways of Jesus. You dive into his word. You invite him into your life and you watch his spirit start to move in you and through you and change you. The second next step is our memory verse. And we encourage you to do this once a quarter. And again, if you don't have it, grab one. Spend some time committing that to memory. It's the Lord's Prayer. Many of us already have this memorized, but then just read it every day, every other day. And when God highlights something, sit in that and ask, what do you want me to learn about that today? The application is more of the same we've been doing. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. And then another next step is receive prayer. There's lots of ways to receive prayer here. You can write your prayer requests on this card, drop it in the offering. We pray for these every single staff meeting. You can email us at prayer@blueashcc. Or of course, I think the best way is you head to the back. We'll have some prayer teams. We'll pray for you in person. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you just want a deeper connection. Maybe you just want to sit back there for 2 minutes in silence with a prayer team member. Maybe you just want them to pray a blessing. We pray for anything. We'd be honored to pray for anything that's going on in your life. At this time, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. If you have any tithes or offerings and you want to drop your Connect cards in those buckets, we'd appreciate it. If you want to grab your communion elements that you'd received when you walked in, if you didn't grab them and you want them, you can head to the back and grab those. But this is something that we offer almost every single week. I've not done a good job the last couple weeks just talking about it. But this is just a reminder who Jesus is and what Jesus did. The wafer represents his body that was broken and the juice, obviously, his blood that was shed. And it's a reminder not only of what he's done, but when we take communion, I love when somebody said this, he's like, we're reminded that Jesus is in us. He's alive, his spirit, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is alive and well in us. But while you're doing that, we've done this every week, so if this is your first time here, this could be a little weird. We're going to practice what we've preached. We're going to spend 2 minutes in silence, and then I'll pray some prayers of adoration. We'll talk about God to come. Come search us, seek us. You can have a moment of confession. Then we'll pray for those that we know and love. We want God to intercede on their behalf, whatever's going on in their life. You can do that in your own way. I'll do it mine. And then we're going to spend some time in daily prayers. When we think about that time of daily prayers, prays for specific needs and wants in your life. Even the things, especially the things you think are too small. Oh, God doesn't care about that little thing. He does. He wants you to say it, ask for it. Things that you want to go well in your life, or things you want to go well today. Maybe it's an email you're waiting for, an answer to a question. Maybe it's even more important things like the bill you have to pay and the money you don't have for it. Ask for God to bless you and show up and show off. Daily bread prayers. And if you missed last week, or if even if you were here and you want to come up and you want to write something on this wall, we give you absolute freedom. This will always be here. Even when we ship the auditorium in a few weeks, these prayers will be here. So I encourage you, if God puts that on your heart, to do that. We'll give you an opportunity to do that. But for now, if you want to open up your hands as that posture, as we recenter ourselves to be silent for 2 minutes. There's nothing magical, but I just love that idea of just opening up to ready to receive whatever God has for us. I'll start my timer, and then after 2 minutes, I'll pray for a little bit, and then we'll pray for daily bread prayers, and you can go to the back and ask the prayer teams for prayer as well. All right, God, come right now. Just recenter us, refocus us on you. Remind us of who you are and who we are as the created, not the creator. Thanks for your creation. Things that we can enjoy. The sunlight, the vastness, your power, your majesty is unparalleled. God, you even told the oceans and the seas where to stop. Just God, right now, I just pray for everybody listening. God, that you would intercede in their life, that you remind them that you created them. God, you didn't make a mistake. There are no mistakes in your creation. Just remind them how much you love them, how much you're for them, and how much you have for them, what you want to do in them, what you want to do through them. God, just search us. If there's anything hidden, if there's anything that we haven't brought to you that you already know about, would you reveal it? Would you cleanse us? Would you restore us? Or would you love us? God, as we think about our daily bread prayers, the things we need today and this moment, the big and the small, God, bring those to our minds. Help us to actually speak them to you, even if it's just in our minds. God, come. We love you, and thanks for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name. this point, you can feel free to sit or stand. And if you want to come up here and write, you're free to do that as well.